It is the People Show. No Bick Nazar. I am Josh Elliott Wolf alongside Dominic Schermatti here on the People Show. Bick still filling in for Canuck Central with Dan Riccio away. So it will be Sat and Bick today. We are coming to you live from the Kintec Studio, Kintec Footwear, and Orthotics, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, supported by over 1,500 five-star Google reviews. Find your perfect fit at kintec.net. You can always chime in as well, the 650-650 Dunbar Lumber text line, the smart alternative. Visit Dunbar Lumber on Bridge Street in Ladner or Arbutus in Vancouver, online at dunbarlumber.com. Big show today. It is Tuesday. It is the People Show. So Yannick Hansen will join us in a matter of minutes here. Talk about last night's win for the Canucks. Really convincing one. And everything that happened over the weekend. Lots of stuff happening around the Vancouver Canucks. We'll get into that with former Canuck Yannick Hansen. Dom, how's it going?
I'm good. I need to ask you something. You were working from home yesterday.
I was.
So I did not get a chance to see you around the office.
Fighting for my life out there.
You really were. Did you turn off the game after 4-0?
I considered it. I was like, because my girlfriend got home after the first period, and I was like, oh, do I want to make her watch the rest of this game?
Yeah, this blowout.
And then I was like, well, I'm hosting tomorrow. I should probably do my job properly. So I watched it. And I'm glad I did. I'm sure a lot of people turned it off. I would not fault anybody for turning it off. Did you?
I was working.
Right. So you were there.
The only way I could turn it off is if I turned my back to it.
You should have closed your eyes, covered your eyes.
Yeah.
Been like, I don't want to watch.
Hell of a comeback, eh?
It was.
Then they blew it, and then they came back again.
But even then, so they come back, and that's awesome. It was an exciting game.
It was unbelievable, yeah.
The third time in Canucks history, I think the first time since the 70s.
It's been 49 years.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been.
It's been 49 years since they last came back from 4-0 down. So that's awesome. That's a really entertaining result. Great for the team. But my thing is, like, anytime something like this happens or anytime the Canucks win lately, it doesn't really inspire confidence. You watch,
but it doesn't have to, right?
No, exactly.
Like, we can enjoy wins in a vacuum, right? We're still able to do that.
I don't know if we're capable of doing that.
Have we been scarred? Have we been scarred? Have we been, you know, gone to the point now where even in a win and in an entertaining game, we can't sit there and enjoy?
I do think people, it's tough because you watch them win, you want to be happy about the win, but also in the back of your mind, you're like, ah. And well, now it's like, are they going
to
be close to the playoff bar? Are they going to make the playoffs? I still think people are rooting for wins, but it's not as fun as it was even last year, for example, when Boudreaux came in, they went on a run. It was like, man, they might actually make the playoffs. Cheer for wins. And now we're back to the 50-50 on Canucks Twitter where it's like, they better tank or they better just keep winning. You know what I mean? Maybe 70-30.
I'm at the point now in my Canucks fandom where I'm just kind of enjoying each game as it comes.
You live day to day.
I Jim Benning it. Live day to day in today's world.
Like today.
With the knowledge that there is something on the horizon, whether that be a Besser trade or a Horvat trade or a Shen trade, something's coming. Mm-hmm. So this thought of like, oh, could they make the playoffs? That doesn't really sit in my mind. But, like, we need to, as fans and just people who consume the game, you have to be able to just sit, watch, and enjoy, no? Like, at some point, you kind of have to put aside the over-analysis and, like, what does this win mean? What does this loss mean? Are we closer to a trade?
Yeah.
It's like, no, just something's going to happen eventually. Enjoy it.
The main thing I dislike is when the Canucks, when you go on Twitter and it's like, oh, this means they're going to keep people. It's like, no, the plan's not changing because they beat Montreal or beat Arizona. They have a plan. It's going to take a while because no teams are making trades right now. Cap space is very limited. But none of the day-to-day of whether they win or lose games, unless it's a really big run, is going to change what's going on. Like I mentioned, Yannick Hansen, he is going to join us. We will welcome him in. It is the People Show. Yannick is brought to you by the Magnuson Auto Group, Metro Ford, Port Coquitlam, and Magnuson Ford in Abbotsford on both sides of the Fraser to serve you. Thanks for doing this, Yannick. How are you?
Not too bad. It's hard to complain after a game like last night.
Yeah. Let's start with that. So, crazy game. My question is, though, after some tough losses, you hear coaches say, hey, let's just throw out the tape, nothing to take away from that. Is it the same with last night when you have this crazy comeback win, or are there lessons you can take away from that?
I don't know. It's entertaining for sure for the fans and everything, but it's not like you can't play hockey like that. So obviously coaches aren't going to be happy with that. He's going to like the 2 points they got at the end. But how they got there, I wouldn't imagine that him being very happy with that. Either that being the first period they get down four, or again giving up the lead late in the game. But again, sometimes you just look at the bigger picture and say, hey, we got the 2 points that we sorely needed. We're back to one game below 500 now. So again, wish wash, and let's look forward to the next game. So it is very hard to dig into these games and start picking them apart, because the picture aren't going to be pretty when you've given up 6 goals. There's no question about that.
I wanted to go back to the weekend as well. So obviously a lot happened on Saturday. Besser scratched and then unscratched. It might not have been like the perfect night to do it with everything going on, but do you think if it was any other game, it was the right call for Boudreaux to scratch Besser going into that game?
He has every right to scratch any player on any given night. I mean, he's the coach. He's putting the team on the ice that he feels give him the best chance of winning. Sometimes you don't feel the best team, but you need to send a message. Again, he's kind of done that earlier. He's benched, was it Garland earlier? But Besser, that's another type of player than Garland. Higher on the pedestal, if you will. So it is a bigger message to send if you're scratching somebody like Besser. Again, with everything that game meant to not only the club, but to Besser as well, it probably wasn't the right game to do it in. You could have done before or after, and you would have sent that message across better, where there are certain games that no matter what, there are certain players you just don't revoke from the lineup, if you will.
And so you mentioned Garland, who got scratched earlier. There was also Kuzmenko, who got scratched for a game. Does that message, because I guess that's three kind of big players on the team that have been scratched, does that message ever get stale at all? Like, oh yeah, he's scratching another guy, but it didn't have an effect earlier in the season.
No, because it does have an effect, because those players, once you're scratched, once you sit out, like it just changed your perspective. All of a sudden, that safety that you feel about your spot in the lineup is not taken for granted anymore. But again, it isn't something you want to do again and again and again and just start rotating through and, oh, let me scratch this guy and that guy and that guy. Because again, you do need your best players out there playing their best. I think at the point when you scratch Kuzmenko, it might have been more, it's a lot of hockey he played. Let's give him a night off and then get him back in again. He's not used to playing these back-to-back, three and four and all these stuff. So it's Garland, no question, that was a message. Besser would have been a message as well. Him claiming, oh, he's not good enough defensively. Well, this team isn't good enough defensively, so that's not just him. So you could have labeled just about any player on that category and then benched them for that. So it is what it is, and you move on. Coaches have these little buttons he can push in order to try to elevate or heighten intensity a little bit. But again, you got to be careful with how many times you use the same button.
And what did you think about Besser's response? Maybe not as much Saturday, but I mean, he got the goal on Saturday, but also last night as well, playing with Pedersen and Mikheyev.
Yeah, no, there's no question he's a good player. You need to bring it out. And then again, the question becomes, how do you get the best out of that player, in this case Besser? Is it scratching him? Is it giving him better line mates? Because he's been pigeonholed in a tough spot. He's playing in the third line as a shooter and probably the best shooter on the team, if you will, at least shown that he can do this at a high level. But you're not playing him with anybody who's going to put him in a position to do this. Now you move him to Petey's wing, and anybody who plays with Petey exceed expectations right now. And again, Besser has proven that, that if he plays with the right line mates, he can go above and beyond. So again, I'd like to see him play with better line mates. There's definitely room for him in the top six. So I see no reason why to keep him in the bottom six, if you will, especially when you don't have him on the power play either. All of a sudden you have a goal scorer, if you will, who aren't getting those opportunities at all. Yeah, you're playing second minutes PP, but we know how much time these guys get on this team. And five on five, who's going to get him the puck on the third line? That's what I worry about there. So again, it would be nice to see him play with a little more quality.
And that plays as well into, because the other thing that came out on Saturday was that Besser's agent has permission to seek a trade for Brock if he can find it. They have permission from the Canucks. Do you think that if Vancouver is intent on playing or on trading Besser, is playing him with Pettersson the best way to maximize that trade value as well?
Absolutely. You want to show that, hey, he scored 5 goals in his last 7 games and he's putting up 10 points. He's a hell of a player. And so you got to build the value here, inflate him a little bit. And you do that by power play, playing him with good players, putting him in a position to succeed. But all of a sudden he starts succeeding. It's like, do we really want to trade this guy now? But again, it is one of those where you want to maximize the return. And the way to do that is to prove that he's still the player that we remember him from a year or 2 years ago when he was potting 30. So again, you want to get him back to that point where whoever you're unloading him on can see that it's not just a potential, but he's that player still.
And just from a game-to-game basis, so Besser taking over for Kuzmenko on Pettersson's line, do you like the fit of Besser there more? Like, just trying to maximize Pettersson, do you like the fit of Besser there more or Kuzmenko on that line more?
There's no question Kuzmenko has had a lot of success there as well. He's producing in spades there as well. Again, it's one of those. It's nice to have interchangeable players. The player I'd probably prefer to be swapped out of the top six is Höglander right now. I know he's playing well, he's working hard, but the production just don't quite seem to be there. So that's probably the spot I would look to fill with one of those two guys that are producing, that have shown that they can score. Like we mentioned, Höglander right now, he's had a ton of opportunities in great positions, but he doesn't quite finish them off, scoring on them, and that becomes an issue when it happens too often. Because when you're playing in this top six role, you're expected to score. And yeah, I don't expect you to score in every single one of your opportunities. Nobody's going to do that. But again, it's too many of these two-on-ones, open cages that haven't quite gone in from you and in from him. And maybe that's just confidence because he hasn't gotten on a roll. But again, once you start missing too many of these, it start ending up being points on the team's account, if you will, at the end of the night, because that one goal that you might have scored is the one that tip you over, that you get into an overtime, or the one that gives you the win. So again, when you're put in a position where you're playing with scores, well, you got to be scoring them.
And how long would you give someone like Höglander then? Because I assume there's kind of a balance between trying to build up confidence and also just being like, hey, it's time to win games. We got to take you out of the top six. How long do you give someone of that age, you put them in a good spot to try to get them some points and get them rolling?
I think it's been too long already. I think we talked about this in the last couple of weeks as well. Again, JT and Bo are doing phenomenally, and obviously he has some sort of credit to that because he's part of the line. And they aren't doing it by themselves. But these two are also doing a lot of heavy lifting on the power play, get a lot of points done there. But yeah, the 5-on-5 is a thing as well. So I would have preferred it to have been done a little while ago. I'm still seeing these blatant turnovers that I really don't like from a young player that shouldn't happen. So again, give somebody who's a little bit more of a track record, some run time.
And we saw Podkolzin go down to the AHL. He's in Abbotsford now. And that's an easy way for him to get top 6 minutes, maybe build up his confidence. Is that something you could see and maybe hope to see Höglander get some time in Abbotsford as well, just to try to build up that confidence and actually have time in a top six?
He's actually getting the minutes now that you'd like him, a young player, to play. So it's not like he's riding the pine and playing those 8, 9, 10 minutes that Podkolzin was playing that will hurt the development. But there's no question he could have used that at some point in his career here early on when you were still allowed to do it. Or I think you can still do it without having to put him on waivers or anything like that, because it hones your game. You learn to play the right way in a not so pressurized situation. Yeah, there's still pressure in the minors, but not in the same way as in the NHL. You're not scrutinized on the mistakes the same way. People aren't talking about him like this on the radio if he's in the minors and he's doing these things. Those are the things where you can get away with a little bit more, and then the coach will pull you in and say, hey, this and this, we got to clean this up out of your game. Then you move on to the next level, and then you know you do it right. And again, you don't have to be taught to play the right way and make the right decisions most of the time once you land in the NHL.
It is former Canuck Yannick Hansen joining us on the People Show. Another name that's come up over the weekend in rumors has been Luke Shen. And so the thing with him is I don't think the return would be too much. And that's kind of where the debate comes in amongst Canucks fans. Do you think it makes more sense to hold on to him because of that leadership he brings and he kind of brings a physical edge to the team? Or is it just he's an expiring asset, move him for what you can get and move on?
I'm sure you could probably move him and re-sign him if you wanted to do that. Again, what are you getting? Is it a third round for Luke Shen? I'd do that just to get another ball in the barrel, if you will. But again, you also got to be careful, like, because it's moving Luke Shen will not make any seismic shift in terms of the return value. Yeah, you're getting a draft pick, and it might turn out, but it's not clearing any salary, and it's leaving you with a pretty big hole in your lineup that I don't see anybody filling. And again, that's a little terrifying when you consider that he's one of your lowest paced defensemen. And again, the hole you end up having after moving a guy like that is one where you don't have a replacement, and you're like, okay, who's going to fill these shoes now? But that speaks to bigger problems, obviously.
And what's it like when a player like that who doesn't put up a lot of points, but obviously has some weight in the locker room? What is it like when a player like that gets traded to the younger players in the room?
Well, it's one of those glue guys, and again, you feel a little safer when you have those guys on your bench that you know if I'm gonna get run over here, there's somebody here who will make somebody face it, if you will, and you're not just going to take liberties on us because you will have to answer the bell. And again, that keeps certain guys in check a little bit more, and it doesn't shift the balance between teams where one team will feel like you can just stomp on somebody without any fear of any repercussions. So it's nice to have them, and there's no question he's got a voice in the dressing room as well. It is always something that you have to be careful moving these guys, where you're not getting measured on production per se. It's more so what's going to happen in the dressing room. And it seems like this dressing room is not where you want it to be. So moving one of the guys that you could potentially see as the guys that are moving in the right direction. Again, we don't know. We speculate here. I've never played with Luke, so I don't know how he is. But again, it seems like they don't have a lot of them in the room. So again, it's one of those things you have to weigh as well.
And could moving a guy like that, moving someone like Shen, could that be a good opportunity for someone like Hughes or someone like Pettersson to maybe step up and be more of a vocal leader as well? And so maybe there's a window on when you should be moving these guys?
No, I don't think so. Moving someone like that will not change anything. If you're a vocal leader, you're a vocal leader. It's just the way it is. I can't recall throughout my career really guys that weren't vocal all of a sudden turning vocal. It's just how guys kind of like are wired. And once the pulse get going and you get it, like you can't turn it off. So either you are that or you're not. And it's just the way it is. So some people lead through action. Some people lead through sheer persona of who they are, and some lead through being vocal. And it's just the way guys are screwed in by nature, and that's how they're going to go about it. It's very hard to change.
And so the other part of that is obviously Shen plays with Hughes, and they haven't really found someone else to fill that role. Obviously, they might not get that back this year in a trade or wherever, but is there anyone on the roster currently that you could kind of see maybe filling that spot on the top pair with Hughes?
No, they need to go find somebody. And it can't be somebody who's making $1 million. It's got to be somebody who can play 20-plus minutes, no problem, where you're not like, okay, maybe we shouldn't be out here in this situation and that situation. No, it's got to be somebody you trust. It's got to be somebody you're paying handsomely, 4 or 5-ish, I'd say, because, again, you don't need them to be producing. But it has to be somebody who can cover for Quinn, because he has some big flaws defensively, and you'd like that to get cleaned up, preferably by somebody else, so he can continue what he does offensively.
Have you seen a difference in Hughes' game this year? Because last year, I think a lot of people were complimenting his defense and what he was doing on the back end, and he was kind of becoming a more well-rounded player. Have you seen a defense or a difference between his defense from last year and how he's defending this year?
No, it's the same thing. He still has the same errors, flaws. I think this year they're just ending up in the back of the net more. Again, I don't know. I don't dive into numbers and stuff like that. But it's getting out muscles. When you end up in a physical battle, then he'll lose them. As soon as it's a skating battle, he wins all of those, and that's how he gets himself out of trouble. But when he gets into a clutch and grab, net front and stuff like that, that's where he needs the help. He needs to be fleet-footed, if you will, move around, getting the puck out of trouble, skating it, and then getting it out of trouble that way. Because as soon as he has to box out guys or he's trying to pin guys below the goal line, then he loses those battles. And this year, they just seem to end up in the net a little bit more.
He is Yannick Hansen, joins the People Show every Tuesday and Canuck Central every Friday. Thanks for taking the time, Yannick.
Always a pleasure.
There is Yannick Hansen. We'll break down some of his comments on the other side of the break. But before we get to that, Dom, tell us about Food Bank Friday.
Well, Sportsnet 650 has teamed up with the Greater Vancouver Food Bank for Food Bank Friday. The virtual fundraiser for the GVFB is December 16th from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. and raises important funds for accessible, healthy, and sustainable food for individuals as families. Check out the events tab at sportsnet.ca/650 to donate. We're excited to have two anonymous donors back again this year who will match donations $1 for $1 up to the first $45,000. This means your impact will be at least 4-to-1 for every dollar you donate. That's the power of the GVFB. If you want to add your own match or challenge, email events@foodbank.bc.ca. What does the food bank need? Cash, baby. The GVFB can use your donations to distribute healthy, nutritious food to people in need. The GVFB. Man, it's a tough
Greater Vancouver Food Bank, guys.
Yeah. Has a buying power of 2-to-1, which allows your donation to go twice as far.
Yeah. Bringing in food is good. Bringing in cash, a little bit better. Because they just have the buying power to have that stretch that much further. It is the People Show. Like I said, we'll talk a bit about Yannick Hansen's comments on the other side. Also, guess the lines. I have to do that this week. Really looking forward to it. That's coming up next on the People Show on Sportsnet 650. This is the People Show. I am Josh Elliott Wolf alongside Dominic Schermatti. No Bick today, but he will be on Canuck Central for the remainder of the week with Satyar Shah. He is still there. He does that every week. We're going to be here today and tomorrow, and then I believe it's OT in this time slot, Thursday and Friday.
Correct. Thursday, at least.
Thursday, I believe Friday as well. So that's your week. We did hear from Yannick Hansen before the break. A few things to get into. We are coming to you live from the Kintech studio, by the way, and feel free to text in 650-650. Dunbar Lumber text line. We'll get to guess the lines a little bit later as well. Get into some football talk. Our preferred teams played against each other.
They sure did.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Went great. It was awesome.
That came down to a Braxton Berrios missed catch.
Who would have thought? But let's get into the Yannick stuff. So there was obviously the Besser talk, and I think that's been hashed over enough on the station. But there was also, we talked a bit about Luke Shen. And one of the things he said was, it might be hard to it will be hard to find someone to fill that role. The on the ice, playing with Quinn Hughes, playing the defensive hard minutes, having an edge to your game where other teams look at you and say, hey, we don't want to mess with Quinn Hughes or Elias Pettersson because then we're going to get beat up by Luke Shen or at least have to fight him. And that's something that's going to be hard to replace. But also on the flip side, you kind of want to get assets back for expiring contracts. And Luke Shen is one of the few guys on the team, aside from maybe Bo Horvat and potentially Thatcher Demko if things really go sideways, that do have positive value. So where do you fall on the Luke Shen keep him or trade him debate?
If we're living in a world, and I think we are, where the Canucks are going to be selling off assets at the deadline, there's no way they're buyers, right? There's no way.
No.
There's no way.
Even if they go on a run?
There's no way they're buyers.
And here's the thing. Rutherford and Alvin have said this, that they are very aware of, like, they're not going to hold on to guys if they don't think they're going to sign.
Exactly.
So if they don't think they're going to sign Horvat, maybe Luke Shen's different because he's so cheap and wouldn't get a huge return. But if they don't think they're going to sign Horvat or be able to sign Horvat,
They're selling. That being said, in what world can you keep Luke Shen if you know he's going to leave? It makes no sense to keep Luke Shen.
I don't know if you know he's
a positive asset for you that you can move for a mid-round pick.
Sure. So let's say like a fourth-round pick.
Sure. And even if fourth-round picks don't hit with consistency, what is a fourth-round pick? It's currency, right? That's currency in the NHL. You can't buy a trade with hard cash, but you can trade picks.
Mm-hmm.
They're as good as dollars. And if the Canucks are looking to build their asset base, they need to flip positive assets for picks. It clears up cap space, and it gives you currency to go out and fill out your roster with the types of players that you want.
And especially guys that we saw it in the offseason with guys like Oliver Bjorkstrand, where they get basically traded for nothing because they cost a little bit too much and teams are strapped to the cap.
Sure.
I just don't think that with the cap going up, there's going to be as many opportunities for that moving forward. I do think there will be some. But I just think Luke Shen is separate from that personally. And I just don't know if a fourth round pick, if that's what you're getting, if you're getting more, if you get into the third or second round territory, then yes, trade him.
I mean, we got a third round pick last year for, what was his name? Drawing a blank.
Mott?
No.
Hamonic.
Hamonic, thank you.
Yes. But I think people... And maybe they get a third round pick. If they get a third round pick, that's fine. I think anything less than that, though, he is more valuable to this team.
Why?
Because he's the only guy that can play with Quinn Hughes right now. Nobody else can play with Hughes.
If the goal of this season is not to win a Stanley Cup, then why are you keeping him?
Also for the off-ice portion of it, where he is a leader in the dressing room.
But he can get leadership anywhere.
People talk about the culture change that the Canucks need to take.
Sure.
Need to create. And
is it helping now?
Yannick Hansen talked about this. They're trying to trend in a direction of creating a good culture. And one of the few guys on the team that's doing that night in, night out is Luke Shen.
Is it helping?
Not to a huge extent.
Well,
but
then what are we talking about, Josh?
You don't have a lot of those guys. And if you trade maybe the only one, aside from some of the younger guys, Pettersson, Hughes, then you're starting to lose guys that younger players can look up to as culture leaders.
But those guys can be attained on the market.
Sure. Like, I agree with
Shen that. Shen isn't the only leadership guy in the NHL, and you don't have to keep him.
But I also don't think he's going to be that expensive to keep. So why not just keep that guy in-house, unless, like I said...
Because you can sign him back in the offseason if you really want to.
Sure.
Pull an Antoine Vermette, trade him for a pick, bring him back.
The thought of that is always good, but how often does that actually happen? It doesn't happen very often.
Not really often, but he has come back. He traded him before, and they came back.
That's fair. We got a text, Chef Swagger from Hell's Kitchen. Shen is, in all likelihood, going to get a raise this offseason. Love the guy, but you have to move him.
I love the autocorrect there.
Yeah, you have to live him. Yeah. You just have to live him. Love the guy, but you have to move him. I do see that. I wonder how much of a raise he's going to get. Like, I don't think it's going to be much over 1.5.
In comparison to the cap, it's going to be minuscule.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's not in a prime bargaining position based on his age. He fits really well with Hughes, and that's why he's kind of an asset to some other teams who maybe have an up-and-coming defenseman they can pair him with. But I don't think he's going to get paid all that much.
Paul the Builder makes a good point here. The leadership will be lost in the offseason anyway when he leaves the organization. So what are we talking about, Josh?
Well,
and if they trade Horvat, there's your leader. Trade Besser, there's a leader.
Yeah, you trade those guys. I think they're going to make a bigger difference than trading Chen would make. Like, I think trading Chen would just be a negative impact in the room.
But the room this year is not going to be the room next year, and you have to focus on building this team for the future.
We also get a text, Chris from Nanaimo, in what world would you get a first for Shen? I don't think anyone said they would get a first for Shen. Maybe a second if a team is really, really desperate, but even then it's like a third is probably where it caps out.
Maybe the Ottawa Senators really value...
The Ottawa Senators love a defenseman from Vancouver.
Yeah.
They will just...
Big body guys.
Yeah. We got a few more texts from talking about the Yannick Hansen comments. Quinn Hughes, with his deficiencies, is at best a number three defenseman. That's a hot take.
Like a defensive defenseman?
Defensive defenseman, maybe. But even then, his offensive output, like, outweighs his deficiencies defensively.
I could agree with you if you think he's a number three defensive defenseman. But his offensive output is... He's
at worst...
He's D1, D2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's at worst a team's second best defenseman, and that's if they have a really, really talented first defenseman.
We're talking generational. That's a hot take, Tyler.
This one, Richard from Port Moody. Hughes, our star. Now we're getting texts about Hughes. Hughes, our star defenseman with zero goals. I would look and see what we can get for him. Richard from Port
Stop
Moody.
It.
You don't need to trade Hughes unless you're really going.
No,
dismantling
unless.
Everything. I agree.
No, unless.
But if you trade Hughes, that's basically saying, and some people want this, basically saying you're not going to be competitive for at least 5-6
years.
But
it doesn't matter. Hughes is going to be a generational defenseman for the entirety of his career. He's still a young kid. Even if you're not competitive for 5 years, you hold on to that asset. You don't trade him now.
I agree.
That's awful.
I'm reading what the text line says. Some people aren't a big fan of Hughes. Other people weren't a big fan of Pettersson's play last year, and now look at Pettersson.
Those people were wrong.
They were wrong. Things turn around. Players have slumps. Hughes is still putting up points defensively. I don't think he's ever going to be a goal scorer. I don't think he needs to be. I think it would be nice if he could score 5 to 10 goals a year. But he contributes so much to the offense, power play quarterback.
Yeah.
It's so hard to find guys like that.
Bill from Buffalo, I just don't understand all this talk about shedding payroll, ? To do so means moving good players, making likely top money. How do you replace those players for less? Please explain. Well, Bill, when you move out older assets like a Bo Horvat, who are about to cash in, and bring in younger assets, most likely on an RFA or ELC, they naturally make less money, freeing up cap space and giving you more time before those players eventually cash in.
And the bigger thing with Horvat, I don't think it's about shedding payroll. It's about capitalizing on an asset before you pay him more when you're not going to be competitive.
Or understanding that you can't pay him and getting value for him so he doesn't walk away for nothing.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I said.
Yeah.
Just differently.
Was it? I didn't understand it that way.
That's fine. No, it's fine. If you can keep Shen, this is from Jeffro, if you can keep Shen and slide him down the depth chart over the next 2 years, that is ideal.
No!
Going to take the Canucks some time to find a partner for Hughes anyway.
You can find Luke Shen's on the market,
it's
right?
Really hard to find a defensive defenseman right now. A right-handed defenseman.
I understand that, but like he isn't a must-keep.
I agree. I will say going into this season, ideally, I wanted Shen to be playing with Rathbone on the third pair. That was my ideal third pair. But then again, it's like, who are you going to play with Hughes? And that's going to be the conversation, not just this year, but until they find a right-handed defenseman with some potential, because they just haven't been able to. I do wonder what Ethan Bear would look like playing with Hughes. They're both kind of puck movers,
though. Huggy Bear line.
The Huggy Bear line. I've really liked what Bear has brought out in OEL. Like, he stabilized him.
Mm-hmm.
But also, if you move Shen, Bear is kind of the only guy that can legitimately play those minutes with Hughes. Unless you want to try Tyler Myers there, but we've seen how that goes. And it's not a fun experience when Hughes and Myers are playing together. They just don't complement each other well enough. I do want to see Hughes and Bear get some extended time together. And maybe it doesn't work out. Maybe you put them back with OEL. I wonder what it looks like, because I do think they're both mobile enough to not play. Like, Bear isn't going to play the same role Shen does, but I think he can defend as well, just in a different kind of way.
I'm curious where Dermott slots in when he's healthy on the back line.
I think it would be Dermott Myers.
You think so?
With how it's currently set
up. Push Stillman out?
Yeah, yeah.
They love Stillman.
Well, it's really easy to take Stillman out of the line. Hey, he got some points last night.
Who didn't? Seven goals.
Well, I think Miller only got one assist, right? But that's fine. We do want to get to Guess the Line. Should we do it now? Let's get to Guess the Lines.
We can get to Guess the Lines. This is your first time on Guess the Lines.
Yeah, new music.
Yeah, there's a ticker now, Evan. Do we have the ticker?
His name is Elon.
Elon, sorry. I'm sorry. Sorry, Elon. I just had an intern named Evan. I'm sorry.
He didn't just have an intern named Evan. It was like 2 months ago.
It was a month
Shout
ago.
Shout out, Evan.
Come on.
But he's not here anymore. No, I remember.
For those who don't understand what Guess the Lines is, I read off some of the matchups this week in the NFL, and Josh is going to guess the spread. Guess the Lines is brought to you by BCLC and PlayNow Sports. Every game will feel like the big game when you bet with PlayNow Sports, brought to you by BCLC. Okay, Josh, are you ready?
Yeah, last time I did this, though, there was a whole jingle. I was part of it.
Oh, Guess the Line. That one? Yeah, yeah. We don't do that anymore.
No, I understand.
Anyway, let's get to it. Oh, this is a fun one, okay? It's the Battle of Texas. Texans at Cowboys.
The Texans are bad. The Cowboys are good. That's my analysis.
Great analysis, Josh.
The Cowboys have been playing really well. I don't want to go 3 scores, but I want to go 2 scores. Minus 14 for the Cowboys.
Wrong. You were close.
Was I?
Cowboys minus 17. There you go. We'll go to the Battle of New York. It's Jets at Bills.
Bills are going to be favored.
But by how much?
But Jets have been good. Not good enough to beat the Vikings, but good enough to be good.
Elon's been telling me about how poor the Bills' defense has been lately, missing guys. What's the spread?
Are they getting
Josh?
Any guys back this week? No, I assume not. No. Okay. Minus 10 for the Bills.
Ooh. Minus 9.5. You got 3 more, okay? 3 more.
Okay.
NFC East battle, Eagles at Giants.
Eagles at Giants. NFC East divisional game. I'm going to say Eagles by one score. Eagles minus 7.
Hey! Congratulations! Vic only gets one sometimes too, so you're right there. Okay, where should we go to next? This one's pretty interesting. Dolphins at Chargers.
I want to say Dolphins by 5.
Too much.
Wow.
Oh, double. Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry.
Dolphins minus 3.5.
Why was that worth a double? I feel like that was close, but that's fine.
You're giving the Dolphins too much respect. Last one. The Vikings playing this week? They sure are. Vikings at Lions.
So I will say, I've seen the headlines about the Vikings being underdogs. I do know that. I don't know by how much, though. So I will say Vikings. I'm going to say Lions by 1 point.
Ooh. It's the Lions minus 2.5.
Lions minus 2.5.
How do you feel about that?
The Vikings are 10-2, guys. Lions are, what, 5-6, I believe?
Maybe.
Or, sorry, 5-6?
Maybe Bick was right to keep him out of the top five.
Well, Vegas obviously agrees. Well, I don't think the Vikings are a top five team, I will say. But I do think the Vikings are, and I think they were in his power rankings, a top 10 team. I will say I am worried about the Lions. They have a really high-powered offense, and the Vikings' secondary is just all kinds of bad.
Yeah.
It's Harrison Smith and a bunch of guys. Patrick Peterson has been really good this year.
Jared Goff all of a sudden looks like a
Well, having a good O-line does wonders, let me tell you.
That is Guess the Lines, the People's Picks, brought to you by PlayNow Sports. When you choose to bet on sports at PlayNow.com, you're playing on the only site whose profits go back to BC. Know your limit, play within it.
So I got 1 out of 5.
1 out of 5, which is pretty good.
I'll take that. What
Getting
one did
none.
I get? Eagles-Titans.
Eagles-Titans. No.
Or
Giants-Eagles.
Yep, my bad.
So our teams played on the weekend.
They did. Oh, did they? How was it for you? So Vikings beat the Jets 27-22.
So famed football manager Alex Ferguson had this phrase called squeaky bum time. It just meant that portion of the game in which you're sitting tight on your seat waiting for something big to happen.
I'm very familiar with the feeling.
Yeah. That's how I was feeling all fourth quarter. And then the Braxton Berrios thing happens.
So
and I'm
he
like,
drops
ah.
it. Was it third down or fourth down where he just drops the
fourth
ball?
Down.
Fourth down. Vikings
and
take
and the Vikings took over and the Jets got the ball back.
Yes.
And I sent you a GG
oh,
on
and
Twitter.
I knew.
And you were like, I don't know.
Just give it a minute. The
I
Vikings are going to blow this.
And then what happened?
They did. They're 3-and-out. But then Cameron Bynum, interception.
Yeah.
I think there
right
was 14
the
seconds left. And the Vikings win.
The funny thing is the Jets actually had a chance at the end again before the interception.
Yes.
Like things were happening.
They were in the red zone.
Yeah.
They were looking good. It's that's been the Vikings all season though. They play with fire. They've won I think every single game they've won, aside from week one against the Packers, has been one score.
How do you feel as a Vikings fan?
Confused.
Why?
Mainly. Sad sometimes. Emotionally
don't
damaged.
Don't you have?
But it's been fun.
Don't you have irrational confidence right now?
It varies week by week. When they beat the Bills, I was like, you know
top
what?
Top of the world.
They
yeah.
can beat any team. Game of the year. Justin Jefferson, he's a god. MVP. But it's just, I know that once they get to the playoffs, I think they're going to be exposed. It just depends on what team they play when they get to the playoffs. And right now, that would be. Let me look at the playoff picture here.
Well, here's the thing, right? If the Eagles stumble, and they might, don't you think, like, how would you feel about the Vikings getting a first-round bye?
I don't think
top team in the NFC?
The Eagles would have to, the Vikings would have to have a better record than them.
Yeah,
because the Eagles
and they're only
the
one
Vikings.
Win back.
Well, first off, I don't think it's going to happen. If they did get a first-round bye, though, I'm obviously a little more confident because that's one less game they can lose. Because right now, the Vikings would play against the Seahawks, which would be a really interesting match.
I think the Vikings would be favored.
I think they'd be favored, but I would be really worried about Geno and DK just picking apart the secondary.
Yeah, maybe.
And look,
they have no run game now.
Yeah, that's true.
Ken Walker's injured. DeeDee Dallas injured.
I just worry about. I'm also a big vibes guy, and I feel like, yeah. Let me tell you. And I just think the Seahawks would be going in carefree. You know what I mean? They'd be like, hey, nobody expected us to make the playoffs. We did it. We're playing a team that's been kind of overrated this year. I wouldn't be surprised.
But why are they overrated?
The Vikings?
They're 10-2. How can you overrate a 10-2
team?
They are
overrated because they just win games by one score. Their point differential, I believe, is like +8.
It's +10.
+10.
So?
It's just the way they're winning is not conducive to longevity. It's very similar to what the Seahawks were doing when they were, like Bick's famous tweet, every Seahawks game is different, every Seahawks game is
You're
the same.
You're saying that's the Vikings now?
That's the Vikings now, where the Seahawks used to go into games, they'd get up by a few scores, and then they'd kind of crumble, and then in the fourth quarter they'd hold on, or they'd come back to win. That's what the Vikings have been doing. And look, it's really exciting football to watch. It's just not conducive to maybe winning a Super Bowl. And also, Kirk Cousins, you never know what he's going to bring week in, week out.
Yeah, but he can be really good.
He can be
really bad.
Last week he was bad, I will say that, but they still got the win.
So, describe your confidence as a Vikings fan this year.
Like on a scale?
On a scale of 1 to 10. 10 being like, we're going to the Super Bowl. 1 being like, we're crashing out of the playoffs.
I would say an 8. Like, I think they have a good chance making it to the NFC Championship. But if they play the Eagles or Cowboys, I think they're going to lose. What about the Jets? How do you feel about the Jets?
I look at it as a growth year. Obviously, we don't have a full-time starting quarterback right now. So I'm going to say 7.5.
Because
it's been a while since It's been a while since we've had a competent defense. We have a great head coach. We just need that quarterback. We have offensive weapons. Garrett Wilson is awesome.
Garrett Wilson is awesome. Yeah. Every time we got the ball, I was like, oh, no. But right now, they would play the Chiefs if the playoffs started today.
Yeah.
Probably not going to win that game, but that's fine.
But after years of heartache.
Just making the playoffs. Would be a win.
Yeah. And then next year, trade for Aaron Rodgers, win the Super Bowl.
Fair enough. You know? Yeah, Aaron. Surely.
Come on, man. It's going to happen.
I don't
Elon,
think it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
I do not think it's going to happen. I just don't even think he'd be good.
Come on. I do not like Aaron. You don't think Aaron Rodgers would be good?
I am out on Aaron Rodgers, but I'm biased.
That
is the People
NFC
Show.
North.
We got to wrap it up. It is the People Show. I'm Josh Elliott Wolf, Dominic Schermatti. We'll be back tomorrow. Our producer, Elon, thank you. Thank you for listening as well. It is the People Show. I always forget to thank the producer. That's on me. And I am a producer. Canuck Central coming up next. Satyar Shah, Bick Nizar, Irfan Ghaffar is going to join them. Latest on the Canucks. And more, that's coming up next on Sportsnet 650.